Thank you for letting me worship with you, actually. Thank you for letting me preach to you today. I'm blessed, actually. Blessed to be among you and to finally introduce myself, actually. I know some of you are confused. Who's Bronson Lopez and why is Tony saying Pono? It doesn't match up. Pono, Bronson, Pono Lopez. It doesn't match up. My full name is Bronson William, and this is going to be a tongue twister for a lot of you. Kahana Pono Ake Aloha, and then Lopez. Bronson William Kahana Pono Ake Aloha Lopez, and then Pono is within the middle of that whole thing. I was named Pono from when I was born, so it's a part of my identity, actually. Even though it's not legally on there, it's a big part of who I am, which is why, like, every time you see an email from me, or if you ever get one, it's Bronson Pono Lopez. So you'll see that often. You'll see Bronson and Pono and think, like, I have a multiple personality, possibly. But thank you, thank you. Our reading for today is, it's kind of a scary one. It's kind of a horror one, which is why I think it was the perfect embodiment of having a little child read this to us. It was beautiful. Thank you. I don't know who planned that out, but that was perfect. That was perfect to have a little child actually read this to us, because there's so much within this text that isn't horror, that isn't scary. And I want to read it to you. I want to read it over again. We got to participate in the reading for this, and now I'm going to read it to you. So just listen, just hear what's happening in this text, and we'll go through it. Luke 8, 26 to 39. Then they arrived at the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. As he stepped out on land, a man of the city who had demons met him. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he did not live in a house but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many times it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles, but he would break the bonds and be driven by the demons into the wilds. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. They begged him not to order them to go back into the abyss. Now there on the hillside, a large herd of swine was feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When the swine herds saw what had happened, they had ran off and told it in the city and in the country. Then people came out to see what had happened, and when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by the demons had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. Beautiful, beautiful text. Beautiful. What's going on? When I was a child, I used to love playing with Hot Wheels. They were by far my favorite toys. They were the best, Hot Wheels. These little cars with different paintings, different designs. It was amazing. But my mom and grandma would think I was kind of weird. because I would create a dialogue amongst these Hot Wheels. They would basically talk to each other, and I would make this story. This story would come up in my head, and I would use these Hot Wheels as the characters for my story, and they would be going off, and all of a sudden this epic storyline, this epic dialogue is being made, and this conversation is going on with basically me by myself. So my mom and my grandma are looking at me like, what's wrong with this boy? And then sometimes people would come over, and they would be like, "Oh, what's Pono doing? Oh, he's just kind of weird. He's over there playing with his toys." But my parents never understood what I was doing. They thought I was kind of weird because I liked doing dialogue with my toys. And while most people like to play outside and go to the beach, because Hawaii is just nice at the beaches, I was one of those kids who liked to stay home and play with my toys and create stories. They couldn't really understand what was going on, so they were a little confused by what was going on. And there was this disconnection after that. All of a sudden, there's this kind of separation in understanding between one and the other. As I'm growing up and getting farther and farther away from my teenage years, I'm 25 at this point, quarter of a century, oh my gosh. As I'm growing up, I am becoming further and further away from youth of today. There's some things that they say, some of these words that we just don't understand, like totes. Have you guys heard this word, totes? It's a shorter version of totally. I mean, they use the slang already. Already it's a slang, but they're making a slang out of a slang already. It's confusing. What's going on? And then they have all these social networks online on their phones, on our phones that are coming up, and it's like this thing called Facebook and Instagram and this one that just came out called Snapchat. I have no idea what Snapchat is, because this is how they do it. One person sends a picture, and they take a picture or they take a video, and they send it over to somebody else. When the other person gets it, they'll hold down on their phone. And as long as they're holding down on their phone, the picture is there. But then, after they take their finger off, the picture disappears. What? So, why? It's confusing. And I can't understand it. I can't understand what's going on with that whole thing. For many, this is natural, though. This is natural for us to become disconnected. This is natural for us to be separated from the next generation. But what happens is that this huge body of water forms between adults and children. This massive body of separation forms between adults and children, and there's this big, big, big disconnection. Our children are growing up, and we don't understand their culture. We don't understand their minds and their personalities. In the beginning of the text, the same thing is happening here. The beginning of the text, the exact same thing is happening, and across the water is a demoniac who has been separated from his community. By his community, in fact. Separated from his community, by his community. Because they don't understand him, because they don't get what he is. He was separated, he was isolated, and sent to live in tombs with the dead. He himself didn't understand what was going on, and so he named his powers Legion. This man who suffered from multiple mental disorders was struggling to understand what they were and was sent to live away, to live in the fear of not knowing what was going on. Yet, what we find here is a beautiful, beautiful story of Jesus who repairs the connections of human beings, the disconnections of human beings. It's easy for us to get lost in how much power Jesus has in the story, so let's focus on what's going on with the demoniac at this point. Let's cross over to the other side and see what's going on. Let's try that. See, for many people, this story is horrific. This story is scary. This story is, I mean, when we think of Legion, a lot of Hollywood actually uses Legion a lot. They use this character quite often, actually, in horror films and demon-possessed films. They constantly use the story of how this character is such a huge and scary thing. And people love to pay to watch these movies. But it's easy for us to judge others for paying to watch a movie about horror films, but we can't deny this, though. We can't deny that the undeniable fear in our curiosity of this story. We're so caught up with telling stories about the supernatural and scaring people with how much power the devil has on us, and we create these boogeymen to depict things we don't understand, that we don't have power over. The reason why people are afraid of the dark is because we don't know for sure what's in there, and we call them boogeymen, the creatures that we can't see, the creatures that we don't know, the creatures beyond our understanding. And Luke's boogeyman is this demon-possessed man who suffers from disorders that people haven't yet labeled. And he is isolated. In this present time, in this world, we live with a boogeyman of our own. It's the world of our children. And because this world is attached to our children, we sometimes isolate our children. I would even say that we sometimes demonize our children. And one day our kids are one way, and the next day they're somebody totally different. And we drop them off at school, and then we pick them up. They're not the same people, and we get confused. We're wondering what is going on with our kids. I don't get it. I mean, these things are coming up, these languages that they're speaking. I don't understand it. I don't get it. What's going on? Why are they speaking this way? Why are they acting this way? And then we say this. We say, what's wrong with them? What's wrong with this generation? Oh, man, my generation was like this, but what's wrong with this generation? And we say this. We say this often. And we push them away, or we fight this world. We try to compete with this world, and so the world starts winning. That world starts to win. That world starts to be overpowering. That world starts to defeat us, and we get scared. Because in the competition over the control of our kids, that world is winning. And we start to realize that this world, that our kids are bigger and stronger and much more mighty than us. And I think Luke knew exactly what he was doing when he included the name Legion in the story. One commentator actually says this. He says that the mention of Legion actually refers to the Roman Legion called the Legio Victrix. It's called the Victorious Legion. It was to say that this demon-possessed man had so many things wrong with him that it was overwhelming, that it had victory over him. This happens to us. When we don't understand something, it is supernatural to us, and we submit to its power by isolating it and by separating ourselves from it. We submit to its power by giving it away and saying, I don't want to deal with that anymore. I don't have time. I don't have the energy. I don't want to deal with that. Within our community, there are times when we feel we cannot understand the disconnection of our generations. For the demoniac in his community, they could not figure out what was wrong, and so they did this. They sent him away, or he would be driven out. They had no idea how to heal him. Within our community, we sometimes aren't equipped to understand our children, and it becomes bigger than us. It's way more massive than we are. And it overpowers us because we have no idea what to do. The boogeyman becomes too much for us to handle. But the beauty of this story doesn't end in horror. It doesn't. The beauty of the story doesn't end in a cliffhanger. In fact, it doesn't even end. The story doesn't end here. The story doesn't even end at some point. But what it shows, though, is Jesus crossing this large body of water into the very depths of the man's world to get a closer look at what is going on, to see what is going on. And this is how it happens. He walks into a graveyard to find him. He gets up close and personal that no one else can, that no one else wants to go near. He speaks to this man that no one wants to speak to. He addresses the problems that he has and learns that it overwhelms him. He takes the time to listen. Jesus takes the time to listen and find out what is wrong. And he heals him. Ooh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. And it trickles down to our world, though. It actually makes sense to us because Jesus crossed over the body of water that separates us and our children. He gets up close and personal with our children, and he speaks to them. He takes the time to listen. And then he heals this rift. He heals this gap that we have between us and our kids. And that's why sometimes we can sing that old VeggieTales song. God is bigger than the boogeyman. He's bigger than Godzilla or the monsters on TV. God is bigger than the boogeyman. He's bigger than Godzilla or the monsters on TV. God is bigger than the boogeyman. Beautiful, beautiful story. Beautiful song. And we can sing that because now we're starting to understand who this boogeyman really is. It takes us to allow him to do this. It takes us to allow Jesus to actually go into the world, to that world, and to step into that world as well. To not just give Jesus the venue to operate in this way, but to actually participate along with him like his disciples. I mean, if you read the story, his disciples are with him in the back. They witnessed Jesus doing this, and we are called to do the same thing. We are called to follow Jesus across the water and to step into the world of our children, not to change the world or to immerse ourselves in the world, but to observe and understand, to find out who our children really are. When we realize that Jesus is bigger than this generational boogeyman that we are so afraid of, we start to realize that it is no boogeyman at all. It is just the natural process that our children go through, and we are able to approach it in a better way. We start to learn more things, more approaches, more methods. Another beautiful part of the story happens when the man asks Jesus if we can follow him. Or if he can follow him. And when Jesus says no, it seems a little discouraging to me, actually. When I read this part, I'm like, oh, Jesus, why don't you let him follow you? You have 12 disciples already. Why don't you add some more? But he says no. But the reason why Jesus says this is because Jesus has basically scared the community to death. When he sent the demons into the pigs and the pigs destroyed themselves, their entire economy collapsed. That's what they lived off of. That right there, coupled with the miraculous healing of this man that was once terrifying and scary, he's not so scary anymore. But at the same time, now they're afraid of Jesus because Jesus is so much bigger. Yet Jesus doesn't leave with them, let them with their fear. Actually, Jesus just doesn't. He just doesn't like doesn't leave them alone to bask in their fear. He leaves the man behind to be the consistent representation of his love. He becomes their sermon, their testimony, their reality. And all they have to do is listen. All they have to do is to sit, take the time, and listen. And they'll be healed as well. This rift between each other, this rift between them and your community, or this rift between us, our community, and our kids' community, this rift starts to get smaller and smaller. This is the beauty of Jesus Christ. This is what's so awesome about what's going on, is that Jesus is crossing this body of water to close it up so that all we have to do is step over into that world. And all we have to do is to listen, take the time to sit and hear what is going on. Hear the testimonies that are being said. Hear the changing nature of what's going on with our kids. Hear the personalities that are forming. Hear the influences and be able to minister to that. And be able to love that. To love our children in the places that they are. And to allow them to explore what is going on. And to know what it is that they are going through. So let's try this. Shall we? Shall we? Let's try this. Let's try this. Let's make the commitment to cross over into the unknown land of our children and challenge ourselves to listen to them, to let them tell us what their needs are rather than competing with it. And let's follow Jesus in the healing of this rift between our youth and us. Let us be unafraid of the boogeyman. Let us take Jesus and move into that world. Not to change it, not to compete with it, not to fight it. Because we're not picking up a sword at this point. What we're doing is we're listening. We're hearing what is going on. Let's pray. God, we are blessed. We are moved with who you are and what you do. We are moved with the rift that you heal, Lord, in this process, in this worship. We ask of your presence, and we love you so much for it. So be with us, be in our knowledge, be in our wisdom, be in our relationships, and reconcile our relationships, Lord. And we thank you in all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.